Happy Thursday, May 23rd, 2024. My name is Kevin Smith. Thank you all so much for tuning into Loud Majority Live. We got a jam-packed show for you guys today. Joe Biden may not be on the Ohio presidential ballot, not because of any nefarious legal actions, but because of his own stupidity. We're going to get into all of that. Also, James Comey is now coming out and saying that you must vote for Joe Biden in order to protect the FBI. Of course, because the three-letter agencies do nothing but protect their own. In a wild story that we didn't get to talk about yesterday, 13 different conservative counties in Oregon approve a ballot measure for a secession vote that would see them join the state of Idaho, which is incredibly interesting. We're going to dive into whether it could happen, whether it's not going to happen, why it isn't going to happen, and what implications it could have moving forward for the electorate. Also, a new poll finds that Donald Trump is running away with it. Running away with it in the state of North Carolina. Also, we've got an update from Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, obviously the quarterback and captain and the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, about how they feel about the Harrison Butker situation. Like any good teammate, they're standing by him. And at the end of the show today, I'm going to show you guys a clip that it's long. It's very long. But I'm going to show you a clip that if you're ever thinking to yourselves, what can I show one of my Democrat friends to maybe get them to switch sides, to maybe get them to start seeing things my way? I'm going to introduce you to someone named Sarah Netburn. Sarah Netburn. This is probably a name you have never heard of, but it will be a name that you will never forget. I can promise you that. Before we get started, guys, hit that thumbs up button. Share this video out all over the place. We are rocking. We are rolling. Before we get going, guys, a quick word from Mike Lindell.
You're still looking good.
I'm still feeling good. You know, I've got all your MyPillow products. Mattress topper, bed sheets, MyPillows, towels, slippers, blankets, sleepwear, dog.
Whoa, Charles. Everyone now can get MyPillow products at huge discounts at MyPillow.com. That's right. Now's the time to go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to take advantage of our 3-in-1 sale. We're bringing you exciting new products, overstock specials, and closeout deals you won't find anywhere else. For example, when you buy one of our brand new MyPillow 2.0s, you get another one absolutely free. And with our overstock sale, you save 50% on our luxurious Giza Dream bed sheets. That's as low as $29.99 for the best sheets ever. And with our biggest closeout special, you get our all-season slippers for only $35. Or our sandals and slides for just $25. Quantities are limited, and once they're gone, they're gone.
Guys, head on over to MyPillow.com, promo code LOUD. That's MyPillow.com, promo code LOUD. So, let's get into this. You see the thumbnail of this show. Today, no Ohio for you, says the soup Nazi to Joe Biden. Joe Biden, you ready for this, is currently not slated to be on the Ohio ballot in November, and state lawmakers didn't bother to fix the problem. This is an incredible story, an incredible story. As things currently stand, Joe Biden is not slated to be on the Ohio ballot this November, and the state legislature did not remedy the situation before adjourning. An Ohio law requires both parties to certify their nominees for president and vice president 90 days before Election Day, which falls on October 5th of this election cycle. The problem for the Biden camp is that the scheduling for the Democratic National Convention is such that Biden will not officially be nominated by his party until August 22nd, just 75 days before the election. This is incredibly odd. This is incredibly odd. Alabama ran into a similar problem this year, but the Republican supermajority there easily resolved the problem earlier this month to ensure that Biden would have ballot access. However, this is not the case in the great state of Ohio. Though both the House and Senate in the Buckeye State passed resolutions to address the problem, neither of those bills advanced during the May 8th session. Ohio House Minority Leader Allison Russo blamed dysfunction and hyperpartisanship for the failure to fix the legislative problem. We've seen the dysfunction here in this place, and I think we've seen that folks have not been able to put aside partisanship and hyperpartisanship and infighting. The State House Speaker Jason Stevens didn't disagree. It's a hyper-political environment at this time of the year, he admitted. There are some Republicans who just didn't want to vote on it, and there's some who were willing. Despite the legislative action on the issue, many leaders expressed confidence that Biden may appear on the ballot in November one way or the other. So here's what happened. This is pretty funny. In Alabama, there is the same sort of law going forth right now that says you have to be nominated and be certified to run for election as president within a certain time frame. Because the Democrats have moved their convention so far back, Joe Biden will not be the nominee of his party until after the filing deadline is passed. Therefore, he shouldn't be on the Ohio ballot. In the state of Alabama, they just changed the law and fixed the problem. Minor oversight, things happen. However, in the state of Ohio, it seems Ohio Republicans just said, no, we're not doing it. Republican Governor Mike DeWine said, I have every confidence that it's going to get done. No one should worry. They're going to be able to vote for president or vice president, whoever they want to vote for. You know, this is not going to be a situation where the president's name is not on the ballot. So it's either going to be done by the court or it's going to be done by the legislature. A spokesperson for the Biden campaign said that Joe Biden will appear on every ballot in all 50 states. Election after election, states across the country have acted in line with the bipartisan consensus and taken the necessary steps to ensure presidential nominees are on the ballots of both parties. Although, you know, not so much in Colorado, not so much in Maine. It's weird the Biden campaign spokesperson didn't have anything to say about those situations. I'm just saying. Although the Ohio Secretary of State, Frank LaRose, a Republican, is less certain. In a letter issued on Tuesday, LaRose warned Democrats, quote, unless your party plans to comply with the statutory deadline, I am duty-bound to instruct the boards of elections to begin preparing ballots that do not include the Democratic Party's nominee for president and vice president of the United States. LaRose also stated that he does not wish to take this step. However, the Ohio House of Representatives has refused to act, and the Democratic Party has so far offered no legal acceptable remedy, he explained. So it is entirely possible that due to a clerical error, due to the fact that the Democratic National Convention does not happen until after the filing deadline, it is entirely possible that Joe Biden may not be on the ballot. It's funny because, you know, you don't hear, I mean, I'm laughing about it because I think it's hilarious. And let's be honest, they're going to find some way to remedy it. They're going to call a special session, and he'll be allowed on the ballot. However, I do find it incredibly ironic that Democrats spent so long trying to get Trump off the ballot that it seems as though some of them have forgotten that they still need to get their guy on the ballot. Unbelievable. You want Joe Biden to negotiate with Kim Jong-un and Ayatollah Khomeini and Mohammed bin Salman and the rest of the dictatorial leaders all over the world? You can't right a clerical wrong, but you expect me to believe that President Shits himself is able to negotiate with world leaders on the behalf of the United States? That's what you expect me to believe? Not a chance. Not a chance. So anybody out there saying that Joe Biden is mentally astute and he is doing the work of the American people, he's not. He's not. It's all the Obama B team. It's all the Obama B team. Let's be honest. It's Karine Jean-Pierre and Jake Sullivan and John Kirby and the rest of the gaggle of idiots who are left over from the Obama administration who couldn't get jobs on CNN or at think tanks running the show over there. So much so that Joe Biden has just recently announced, that he plans on forgiving $7.7 billion worth of student loan debt. Wow, that's a lot of student loan debt forgiveness. Now, the big criticism from many of us, myself being one of them, is how is that fair? How is that fair to the people who didn't go to college, to the people who took out loans and paid them back, to the people who worked their way through college like I did? How is that not fair to them? And we've been asking this question for months and months and months and months and months. How is that fair? Why should I have to pay not only for my college education, but for your child's college education? When questioned about this by NBC News, is even harping on Joe Biden over this policy. When questioned about it, Karine Jean-Pierre, still is unable to come up with the basic answer, the most basic of answer to a question we've been having for the last several months now.
Just to put a fine point on it right now, for the 4.7 million Americans who have received this debt relief, the average, as you said at the start of this visit, was $35,000 their relief has been for. So I guess, why don't those individuals who didn't receive $35,000 in debt cancellation deserve a $35,000 check from other Americans for what other means they would want to use it?
You're talking about the...
those people who didn't go to college, so they're not getting debt relief, the $35,000 that they don't get because they didn't go.
We're talking about folks who are in debt who are literally being crushed. Literally being crushed because they took... financially. Okay, is that okay with you? Okay, but I know, but crushed financially. And so they're trying to get their lives back on track, right?
They're trying to get their lives back on track, so that means you've got to pay it. Well, Karine Jean-Pierre, why don't you come pay for my credit card debt? That would help me get my life back on track. Come pay for my car note. Come pay for my mortgage. I don't see why I should have to pay for the debts of other people, considering I already paid for my own. I paid my way through college. But this B team of an administration cannot even get the most basic of answers right. And that is probably why, when we look at new polling coming out from the left-wing organizations, Trump is taking a commanding lead over Biden in yet another swing state of North Carolina. That is when RFK is included. He is well within the margin of error. As a matter of fact, when you include RFK in this, Donald Trump polls 3.5% higher than he did in 2020. Recent polling from The Hill has revealed that President Donald Trump is leading Joe Biden in North Carolina by 5.4% in a three-way race that includes independent candidate Robert F. Kennedy, based on an average of 24 different polls. Additionally, the polling has revealed that Kennedy is attracting more support from President Joe Biden than Trump in that state. As I have long been saying, any of the people out there who want to try and claim that RFK is going to take some support from President Trump, you're on drugs. Yeah, he's good on vaccines. Yeah, he's good on the food that we eat and the amount of preservatives and crap that we consume on a daily basis. He's very good at that, no doubt. But he's also a gun-grabbing climate freak who wants reparations, wants abortion up until the point of birth. He wants higher taxes. He's insane. He's a communist who doesn't like vaccines. And if you're a Republican out there who may be on the fence about whether or not you're going to vote for President Trump or Robert F. Kennedy, you're, and I mean this in the nicest possible way, a dumbass. A genuine dumbass. I don't know what you're seeing. Someone come and tell me. Is it just about the vaccine thing? Is it just about COVID? Because if it is, you got to get over yourself. You got to get over yourself. Since January, Trump has consistently maintained a 4-6 point lead over Biden in North Carolina in the two-way race. Trump narrowly won the state by less than 2% in 2024. In a head-to-head matchup, Trump is beating Biden on an average. Averaged out through 33 polls, Trump is beating him 48.6 to 44.3, a margin of 4.3. In a three-way race, Trump currently holds a 43.6% lead compared to Biden's 38.2. Kennedy, who has gained ballot access in North Carolina, is currently polling at 8.1%. This support appears to be drawing more votes from Biden than from Trump, shedding light on voters on voter dynamics and speculation about which candidate Kennedy would impact. Decision Desk, which are the people over at the Hill that do this poll, highlighted in a video on polling averages on Monday the fact that only 7 states are considered true swing states in the upcoming election. And you guys know which ones they are: Nevada, Arizona, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Georgia. 6 of these 7 swing states were won by Trump in 2016, but 6 were also claimed by Biden in 2020. In the 2020 election, all 7 swing states were decided by a margin of error by a margin of less than 3%. And Trump does not have to win them all. Biden does, however. Biden absolutely does. And I think we can put North Carolina squarely in the lean red camp. I would take that out of the swing state polling average. That's just me. That's just how I feel about it, though. And I'm going to show you guys something very interesting. Very interesting in just 1 second. Before we get to that, guys, I want to talk to you guys about my friends Dan and Danielle Morton, who in 2015 started AmmoSquared.com. That's AmmoSquared.com. Guys, Ammo Squared is a pro-America, pro-2A, and pro-personal freedom company that helps you stockpile ammunition for a rainy day. Ammo Squared is the only way to stay stocked up on ammunition automatically. Your ammo grows slowly over time and is stored for free while it builds up and is shipped whenever you want it, shipping out in just 1 to 2 business days. Ammo Squared has been around for almost a decade and has 30,000 loyal customers all over the country. It is truly the automated set-it-and-forget-it ammo purchasing. Just pick your caliber, set your budget, and select a shipping trigger, and that's it, baby. Ammo builds up over time and is delivered automatically whenever you want it. It is a very budget-friendly way to build up a stockpile of ammunition, and it is customizable, guys. You can buy as much as you want or as little as you want, like an ammo savings account, or 401k, set it up and have ammo for a rainy day when store shelves go empty and ammo is hard to find, like we saw in 2008, 2015, and in 2020 when those store shelves were empty. Everybody had trouble finding ammunition except for the Ammo Squared customers, because they could get it immediately delivered, an immediate delivery of all their ammo they had stockpiled with just the click of a button. Forget about dealing with heavy cases of ammo in your garage. You can literally exchange your Ammo Squared inventory from one caliber to another in seconds with just a couple of clicks. Guys, head on over to AmmoSquared.com. That's AmmoSquared.com/LFA. You guys will get free shipping over $250. So go to AmmoSquared.com/LFA. That's AmmoSquared.com/LFA. So we talk about the Electoral College and everything that it means for the election. Well, something is percolating here. Something is coming on up that could have Electoral College implications for years on end. And what is that? Well, there are 2 things that are going to affect the Electoral College. Let me pull this up for you guys real quick, because you guys know I am a politics nerd and I have no shame in my game about any of that. No shame in my game. Let's pop the big board up onto the screen real quick, because I want to show you guys something. We're going to be talking about this for a while and see where this thing goes. Oh, where is it? Oh, nope, not that one. Where is it? Bingo, bango, there it is. Pop the big board up onto the screen. So here is the 270 to win map. Let me pull this up as high as I can. Let me, I'll take, where we got here? Let me make this a wee bit smaller. There we go. We can fit the whole country in there now. Bang. There it is. So as we look at the big board here, we are seeing just the swing states left available. We've got North Carolina squarely in the Republican camp. Now, with all that being said, there are two ballot initiatives. There are two things going on all across the country that could severely impact the upcoming race. Number one is going to be right here in the state of Nebraska. As you can see, there is that one little dot right there. We've spoken about it before. That one blue could impact the race in its entirety. Why is that? Well, there's only one scenario with these remaining swing states that an out-and-out tie can happen at 269 electoral votes, and that is if Pennsylvania goes red and if Michigan goes red, with Joe Biden winning Wisconsin, Nevada, Arizona, and Georgia. Then you got 269, and then we go to the House of Representatives. Let's reset this map. Now, what's going to happen in the state of Nebraska? What could happen in the great state of Nebraska? Well, Nebraska right now is trying to change its electoral system. So it has 5 electoral votes at the current moment in time, as you can see. What they are trying to do right now is remove the proportional representation of their congressional ballots. Of their Electoral College ballots. What would that mean? That would mean out of the state's 5 Electoral College votes, all 5 would go to whoever wins the state instead of being distributed proportionally across all the congressional districts, across all the Electoral College ones. For those of you who don't know, the way a state gets their Electoral College votes is you take the number of members of Congress in a particular state and you add 2 senators, and that is your electoral vote tally. Right now, the state of Nebraska has 3 members of Congress and 2 senators. One of those congressional districts is blue. That would be around Omaha. So at the current moment in time, let's reset the board. That one goes to the Democrats. However, if Nebraska is able to change this, which they may very well do, and then we go back to that scenario, Donald Trump only has to win 2 of the swing states, Michigan and Pennsylvania, and that's the ballgame. We don't have to look at the other ones. We don't have to look at the other 4. But there is another scenario in which this could happen, even if Nebraska keeps its Electoral College system the way it is. And that comes down to the state of Oregon. Oregon, Kevin, what are you talking about? Oregon is a deep, deep blue area. Oregon is deep, 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 deep blue. We got some people here watching from Oregon. Well, it turns out, over the course of the last couple of days, conservative counties in Oregon approve a ballot measure for the secession vote that would see them join the non-woke Idaho as they issue a list of demands. This is incredibly interesting. Let's see about this. 13 fed-up counties in liberal Oregon have voted in support of a measure to start negotiations to secede from the state and join conservative Idaho. Crook County became the latest to approve the Greater Idaho measure following a vote on Tuesday. The proposal seeks to move the Oregon border 200 miles to the west, meaning that 14 counties and several partial counties would fall under Idaho's state lines. Organizers behind the Greater Ohio movement say East Oregonians are being alienated by the state's progressive policies, which they blame for high crime rates. They claim the move to Idaho would allow residents to take advantage of lower taxes and provide representation and governance. We're going to keep looking at this in a second, but I want to make sure I pop this up onto the screen to talk about the electoral... Oh, No, let's see, where is it? To talk about the electoral implications of this. This is what the state of Idaho would end up looking like. At the moment, and I may have these lines a little bit wrong, right here is where Oregon blacks out right now. This whole area of eastern Oregon is one entire congressional district. Over here is three congressional districts. So, electorally speaking, if this were to happen, let's go back to the big board. Try to follow along with me on this one because I know it can be a little bit confusing. Did I get that up? Boom, boom, boom. There it is. If that ends up happening, Idaho over here would get one extra electoral vote. Would get one extra electoral vote, giving it five. And that would then mean the exact same scenario would happen. Donald Trump would be able to get Republicans would be able to get that big, beautiful 270 without even Nebraska having to flip or worrying about the remainder of these swing states. That could entirely change the ball game for Republicans moving forward. Now, I want to make it very clear to everybody here who is listening. The chances of this happening are incredibly small for a number of reasons. Number one, and most obviously, why would Oregon ever let these people go? Eastern Oregon tends to be more rural. They are basically subjects to the progressive policies put forth by the Capitol, put forth by the urban areas of Portland. Eastern Oregon is basically a slave to Western Oregon. Why would they ever allow their slaves to go? It would also have to go through the Idaho legislature, which I think Idaho would probably approve of. And then it would be sent to Congress. There are numerous steps involved for this. But electorally, and just on a grassroots level, if this sort of thing were to happen, it could be a major blow. A major blow to the way people politic and the way they act with their states. You guys know it if you live anywhere around the country. The only thing that matters to politicians are the cities. They don't care about the suburbs. They don't care about the rural areas. However, if some of your rural areas in your state, let's say you're in Western Maryland and you're close to West Virginia, Mountain Mama, Country Road, Take Me Home. Could Western Maryland secede and move in to West Virginia? Country Roads? Could they do it next? Long Island? Could we branch off? Is it possible? We will. I guess we'll have to see what happens there. The Oregon-Idaho line was established 163 years ago and is now outdated, the movement's website states. It makes no sense in its current location because it doesn't match the location of the cultural divide in Oregon. We want an economy that is not held back by Oregon regulations, taxes, including environmental regulation. We'll still have federal and Idaho regulations, and that's plenty. Idaho knows how to respect rural counties and their livelihoods. Measure 786, as it is known, passed by 53% in Crooked County in the latest boost to the Greater Idaho campaign. However, the vote is not legislatively binding and just means that residents are in favor of informing the state and federal representatives that they support negotiations to annex part of Oregon. Voters of Eastern Oregon have spoken loudly and clearly about their desire to see the border talks move forward, the Greater Idaho director, Matt McCaw, said. With this latest result in Crooked County, there are no excuses left for the legislature and the governor to continue to ignore our wishes. We will call on the governor, the Speaker of the House, the Senate President to sit down with us and discuss the next steps towards changing governance for Eastern Oregonians, as well as for their legislature to begin holding hearings on the potential border change will look like. For the last 3 years, we've been going directly to voters and asking them what they want in their state government. What they're telling us through these votes is that they want their leaders to move the border. Now, I want to make it very clear. I don't think the state of Oregon should have any say. Any say whatsoever in whether or not these people leave. Any say at all. You want to go? There's the door. There's the door. Then you can run Oregon like the progressive hellhole that you want it to be. But that's why they'll never let Eastern Oregon go. Because right now, those people in Eastern Oregon are subsidizing the crime, subsidizing all of the nonsense going on in the city as people continue to flee it left and right. See, they still want the progressive policies. They just don't want the outcome of what the progressive policies implement. So when things get too rough in Portland, they move east. And the people who live out there are saying, no, 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 you keep that shit over there. You keep that over there, and we'll go move in with Idaho and have virtually no taxes, virtually no regulation, and live like a king. Because Idaho is the best kept secret in America. If you've ever been to Boise, you know that. As soon as you land in Boise, they tell you, don't tell everyone how nice it is here. We want to keep this a secret to ourselves. Many in Oregon and continuing to cite the drug problems in the city of Portland as another reason for wanting to leave. I think this could be huge for the people of Oregon. And look, I'm going to try to reach out to the organizer of this to see... to see if we can get someone on to talk about the implications of this, because I find this absolutely fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. Guys, we will be right back in 1 second. Once again, guys, hit the thumbs up button. Share that video out all over the place. Let's rock. Let's roll. Giddy up. Let's go. Guys, before we keep on moving and grooving here, because we're going to make fun of James Comey for a little bit. Before we do that, guys, Mike Lindell.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I'm here to tell you about my new product from MyPillow. Towels that actually work. Watch this absorbency test. Here's another towel that we randomly went out and bought. Here's one of my towels with a nice design. I don't know if you can see this, but you could line a swimming pool with this. I mean, this is crazy. Get rid of it. Towels that actually work. What a concept. I'm interrupting this commercial to let you know you can get our six-piece My Towels, regular $69.98, now only $29.98. Or you can save 25% on our brand new kitchen towels made with the same technology as our famous My Towels. Also, we have bath sheets, bath towels, washcloths, hand towels, and so much more. And the best part, with your promo code, your entire order ships absolutely free. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use that promo code to get deep discounts on all My Towels. And for a limited time, your order ships absolutely free.
Guys, head on over to MyPillow.com, promo code LOUD. That's MyPillow.com, promo code LOUD. For 80% off everything on the website. Guys, before we get to the James Comey stuff, I want to remind you guys at the end of the show today, I'm going to be showing you a very long clip from a Senate hearing with Ted Cruz questioning a woman I promise you you've never heard of before. If there is one thing that if you, guys, I want you to save this episode on your phone. Because this is going to be the clip that you show your normie friends about how batshit crazy the Democrats have gotten. But before we get to that, we got to talk about James Comey. So James Comey goes on MSNBC and begs their viewers that no matter how they feel about Joe Biden, they have to vote for him because Donald Trump is coming for the FBI and the DOJ. During an appearance on MSNBC's Alex Wagner Tonight, former FBI Director James Comey declared that voters must vote for Joe Biden, no matter how they feel about him, because the consequences of the other side are too severe, stating that Trump is coming for the Justice Department and the FBI. Now, I wonder why they would have to do that.
Are you concerned that it may get a test unlike any other if Donald Trump is reelected? I mean, when you think about a second Trump administration, what do you think the implications would be for the FBI?
Oh, serious, for the Justice Department and the FBI, because Trump is coming for those institutions. He knows their power, and I think he has regrets that he didn't work hard enough to corrupt them last time. So he's coming for them, and that's a danger for all Americans. He's going to put people in positions in those organizations. He didn't have all-stars the last time. He'll have the bottom of the barrel this time, but people who will want to do his will, and that should worry every American. This election matters. Because of a reason like that, people have to participate. You cannot sit on the sideline. I don't care how you feel about Joe Biden, you must vote for him because the consequences on the other side are too severe.
So, James Comey, let me ask you this. Do you really think, in your gigantic liberal arrogance, do you really think that you're going to get the defund the police crowd to suddenly start voting to save the FBI and the DOJ? Do you think you're going to get black voters to suddenly start voting for the FBI? This is the arrogant smugness of liberals. Where they're not telling people to vote Democrat because they think Democrats have better ideas. They're telling people to vote Democrat because they think it's a better idea. Because they know better than you. Because they're a better person than you. That's how these people think. They know they're better than you, and they love to throw it in your face on a repeated basis. Comey's statement came after it was revealed, of course, that the FBI had authorized the use of deadly force in a raid at Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate. Another unsealed document entitled Contingencies said that the FBI were told to be prepared to engage Trump and the Secret Service team when they entered Mar-a-Lago. The FBI also had a medic on scene in case of any injuries during a raid and identified a local trauma center if anyone was hurt during the Mar-a-Lago operation. Now, why would anyone be hurt? It's a golf resort. What are you going to do? Twist your ankle in a sand trap? Of course not. Now, many people, we didn't talk about this on yesterday's show because I wanted to give it a couple days and let it sit, let my thoughts sit a little bit on this one. A lot of people think that this use of deadly force is two things. It's one of two things. Either it's standard operating procedure for the FBI, which if it is, that's terrifying. So the FBI is deciding to start with deadly force. That's where they begin, and then they work backwards. Okay. Or two, they were trying to kill the president. I don't think it's either one of these. I don't think it's either one, to be honest with you. What I think it is I think that the head of the DOJ, the people that are in charge over there, the politicians working at the Justice Department, they wanted the spectacle of Trump's Secret Service to pull guns out on FBI agents. That way they could use that as the precursor to remove his Secret Service protection. That's what I think. That's truly what I think. That way they could say, look, Donald Trump has even corrupted the Secret Service. Now he's got his Secret Service pulling weapons on FBI agents. And the reason I think that is because the FBI at this time was told, do not, you ready? Do not wear FBI clothing. Go in regular clothes. I've been to Mar-a-Lago, okay? You can't just walk through the front door wearing normal clothing without somebody stopping you. And when somebody stops you, that person is going to be armed, as were the FBI agents. And all they needed was one picture of one Secret Service agent with their weapon out. One FBI agent with his weapon out, and that would have been the photo that traveled around. That's truly what I think happened there, if I'm being totally honest with you. If I'm being totally honest, that's what I think ended up happening there. I don't think they were trying to kill the president. I think that is hyperbolic, to say the least. However, I think that's the image that they wanted. That's the image that they wanted. Before we move on to the next story, because we only have a couple minutes left, and I want to make sure I fit everything in, I want to make sure you get the full context of this video I'm going to show you. Before we do that, guys, head on over to lfatv.us. That's lfatv.us. That is your home base. That is your mothership for all things LFATV related. Get your Armor of God gear. Get your Rapture Ready stuff. Pick up your Rise Up coffee. And while you're there, consider becoming a monthly donor over at lfatv.us. That's lfatv.us. Guys, this is user-generated content. We appreciate all the support. So, you know, I want to be honest here. I do not know Harrison Butker. I don't know. I know that he's a kicker. I know that apparently he's Catholic. I know apparently he has traditional views, and I know that ugly people are very, very upset with him online. That's all I really know about the guy. I'm not a Kansas City fan. I don't care about that team. However, what I'm going to do is I'm going to listen to the people who know him best before I judge him as a human being. Because, and I'm going to listen to people who have something to lose. Like the MVP of the NFL, Patrick Mahomes. Like Andy Reid, Hall of Fame coach. Hall of Fame coach. Because both of them were asked about the Harrison Butker controversy over the course of the last week or so. And both of them stood right by his side. Right by his side. Do you know why? Do I think that Patrick Mahomes agrees with him on everything? Probably not. Patrick Mahomes did come from a very, very conservative household. I don't mean conservative politically. I mean, he grew up in East Texas, married his high school sweetheart. Not the normal NFL route. But they stood up for their friend, and that tells me everything they need to know. Here was the captain of the Chiefs and the head coach, Andy Reid.
I know Harrison. I've known him for 7 years, and I judge him by the character that he shows every single day, and that's a good person. That's someone who cares about the people around him, cares about his family, and wants to make a good impact in society. When you're in the locker room, there's a lot of people from a lot of different areas of life, and they have a lot of different views on everything, and we're not always going to agree, but and there's certain things that he said that I don't necessarily agree with, but I understand the person that he is, and he's trying to do whatever he can to lead people in the right direction, and that might not be the same values as I have, but at the same time, I'm going to judge him by the character that he shows every single day. That's a great person, and we'll continue to move along and try to help build each other up to make ourselves better every single day. But at the end of the day, we're going to come together as a team, and I think that'll help out as well as eliminating those distractions outside the building as well.
The guys are good with that. They understand. I mean, they understand how things work. I mean, everybody's got their own opinion. And that's what's so great about this country. You can share those things and you work through it. And that's what, you know, that's what guys do.
What makes the locker room so cool is you're able to have those discussions and become better and make those decisions for yourself. And so even though they're very vast, I guess, differences as far as those speeches happen at the same time. I mean, you're able to talk to guys and you get knowledge and you make your own decisions at the end of the day. And I think that's what makes this country so great is that you're able to get as much knowledge as you can and then you make your own decisions. And it gets a little divisive sometimes when you get to social media and you get to outside the building. But in the building, you can have those healthy discussions and still be friends at the end of the day, even though you might not agree with exactly the same things.
I think I didn't talk to him about this. Didn't think we need to. We're a microcosm of life here. Everybody's from different areas, different religions, different races. And so we all get along. We all respect each other's opinions. And not necessarily do we go by those, but we respect everybody to have a voice. It's a great thing about America, man. And we're just, like I said, a microcosm of that. And I wish, my wish is that, everybody could kind of follow that. So, yeah.
With so many women just on staff here and in the building, his comments kind of touched on women in the workforce. I mean, what do you tell them if they come to you with a concern about players speaking ill of, women in general?
Yeah, that hasn't happened. I don't think he was speaking ill to women, but he has his opinions, and we all respect that. I let you guys in this room, and you have a lot of opinions that I don't like. So.
You know what? I never thought I'd say this, but shout out Andy Reid. I love that little smart-ass comment right at the end. His teammates are standing by him. Of course, the one teammate we haven't heard from yet is the one we want to hear from the least. That would be the hillbilly from Cincinnati, Travis Kelce. Of course, we have to get his take on it because it turns out he doesn't get to make decisions about his life anymore because he's such a big, strong man. He's such a big, strong man that has to let a gigantic, gangly woman who can only play two chords on a guitar take over his entire life. But I want to make sure we get to the final story today. Before we do that, guys, head on over to loudmajorityusa.com. That's loudmajorityusa.com. Sign up for the newsletter. Check out our shop. That is the best way to support this show. You guys can use promo code SPRING to get 30% off everything on the website. That's promo code SPRING to get 30% off everything on the website at mypillow.com. I'm sorry, at loudmajorityusa.com, or hit that donate button. So, I want to talk to you guys about someone named Sarah Netburn. Sarah Netburn. You probably have no idea who this woman is. She has been appointed to the federal bench by Joe Biden. Now, she's a judge from Joe Biden's world, so obviously she's not going to be all there. But watch Senator Ted Cruz. If there's one clip I want you to show your friends who are on the fence about who to vote for in this election, this is the clip. It's pretty long, but I think everybody needs to hear it.
Well, Judge Netburn, I'm going to continue on this line of questioning. In your court, what matters more, the rights of individuals or your political ideology?
I apply the law to the facts.
I asked a question. Which matters more?
Well, my political ideology doesn't matter at all.
Okay, so I don't believe you. And I think this case demonstrates that you are willing to subjugate the rights of individuals to satisfy your political ideology. This case involves a male defendant who raped a 9-year-old boy. Was he guilty of that?
Yes, the petitioner pled guilty to that.
Okay, so he raped a 9-year-old boy. He also raped a 17-year-old girl. Was he guilty of that?
He pled guilty. The petitioner pled guilty to that crime as well.
So was he guilty?
I hope so, because she pled guilty to it.
He was a he when he did this.
That's correct.
And also criminal deviant conduct, which the record doesn't disclose what that was exactly. Then, after serving in prison, Mr. McClain was released for parole, but then violated the terms of parole by having internet and was sent back to prison. 1 year after being released again, he was convicted of having child pornography. Is that correct?
I'm unclear on exactly the time frame that you're at, but the petitioner was convicted of distributing child pornography.
Child pornography that was images of adults violently raping children.
Abhorrent conduct.
Okay.
For which there are real victims.
And this individual, 6'2", biologically a man. A minute ago, you said that when this man decided that he was a she, you said this individual was, quote, I wrote it down, sober and entirely a female. That phrase struck me as remarkable. Did this individual have male genitalia?
I think what I said, or at least what
that is a verbatim quote, entirely a female.
Sorry, what I meant to say was hormonally a female.
Okay, but that's not entirely. Did this individual have male genitalia?
Yes.
So you took a 6'2" serial rapist, serial child rapist, with male genitalia, and he said, you know, I'd like to be in a women's prison. And your answer was, that sounds great to me. Let me ask you something. The other women in that prison, do they have any rights?
Is that a question you're
yes,
asking me?
Yes. The other women in that prison, do they have any rights?
Of course.
Do they have the right not to have a 6'2" man who is a repeat serial rapist put in as their cellmate?
Senator Cruz, I considered the facts presented to me, and I reached a decision based on what the law
I asked you a question. Do they have a right not to have a 6'2" man who is a serial rapist put in as their cellmate? Do those women have a right to that?
Every person who's incarcerated has the right to be safe in their space.
But you didn't think so. You didn't think so. And in fact, I'm going to give some quotes from your order, because Senator Kennedy is right. This is not a judge's order. This is a political activist. By the way, the beginning of your order says, at birth, people are typically assigned a gender. I got to say, that would astonish a lot of Americans. A lot of Americans think you go to the hospital, a baby is born, and you congratulations, you have a little boy, a little girl. The assigned a gender, I know you went to Brown, but it sounds like it's in a college faculty lounge with no bearing on reality. The Bureau of Prison argued, what I'm saying right now, that if you put this person in a female prison, there will be a risk of sexual assault to the women. And you know what you did? You said you didn't care about the women. I'm going to quote what you wrote. You wrote, quote, the Bureau of Prisons claim penological interest in protecting female prisoners from sexual violence and trauma. This interest is legitimate, that's kind of you to say, but there are no signs that petitioner is at risk of reoffending. The record is devoid of evidence of incidents of violence or assault during petitioner's incarceration when she was the perpetrator, only the victim. A theoretical risk of sexual assault by the prisoner without more cannot support the BOP's position. No evidence, theoretical. Have you dealt in what universe is someone who is a serial repeat child rapist not at a risk of reoffending?
Senator, as I do in every case.
Okay, I know you've been told to repeat the line, I follow the law. I asked a question. In what universe is someone who is a serial repeat child rapist not at risk of reoffending?
Sir, I looked at the facts that were before me in this case. All of the evidence, including the statements of every warden who had supervised this petitioner.
You also wrote, the BOP also posits that permitting petitioner to live among women will be traumatizing and possibly dangerous to them. This concern is overblown. I have to say, if I were the father of one of those women, and you decided that my daughter's cellmate was going to be a 6'2" man who over and over and over again committed violent sexual assault, I would say the entire justice system is absurd, and it is clear on your record your political ideology matters a heck of a lot more than the rights of those women that you endangered. I think you're a radical, and I think you have no business being a judge.
No business being a judge. That is someone Joe Biden wants to appoint to the federal bench in the Southern District of New York. You hear that? From all my New Yorkers out there, that's who is going to be prosecuting you. That's where we get people like Judge Marchand from that talent pool. If you take nothing else away from this show, from any of the other shows on this network, anything up, down, sideways, left, right, whatever. That clip that woman, that judge thought it acceptable to put a repeat child rapist into a woman's prison because he just decided he was a woman today. That is what is at stake in this election. You want more judges like that? Because I have news for you. And this slipped right under the radar. In the last 3.5 years, Joe Biden has appointed more federal judges than any president in American history. More federal judges than any president in American history. And that is the talent pool. Remember when I told you you didn't know who Sarah Netburn was before? I bet you'll never forget her now. And I bet it won't be the last time you see her. Because she's going to fly through. She's going to get appointed. It's going to happen. And that's why elections matter. And that's why the Senate matters. Guys, I'm going to wrap up today. I want to thank everybody so, so much for tuning in. Make sure you hit that thumbs up button on the way out the door. Make sure you stay tuned for Matter of Fact, coming up next here on this network. Guys, until tomorrow, everybody, stay loud.